time that is ours to again study thy word. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're ready to start point D, which is the violations involving the Royal Family Honor Code. You will see that there is a definite correlation between Proverbs 6, that which we'll study first, and then 2 Timothy 3, where in the New Testament we have a similar description of those that violate the principles of the honor code. Last time we left off with Galatians 5:1, and the whole principle involving freedom, not only physical freedoms, which we enjoy in this country still, but greater than that, our spiritual freedom. And may I remind you again that whether you have your physical freedom or not is not important to the exercise of your spiritual freedom, because your spiritual freedom is inside of your soul. No one can get in there and destroy it. Of course, your physical freedom can be taken from you, or human freedom can easily be lost through military takeover or under the principles of divine discipline when a nation fails and then eventually falls, as did Israel and many other nations that were client nations to God. We've said this repeatedly over the years. We came pretty close, by the way, in 1976. Some of you don't realize how close we came into full-scale nuclear war with them, the Soviet Union. They had already set up all of their tactics with regard to how they were going to do it, and at the last minute, they changed their minds and they stopped. They had the whole plan set up for the invasion of Europe first, and simultaneously they were going to attack the United States. And this comes, by the way, from very, very high sources, which I cannot divulge because it is top secret. When I was told of these things, as a matter of fact, people actually called me from different parts of the country and the world, letting me know the things were very, very serious. And then there was something to do with the Koreans as well. That's still an ongoing thing. But at one point, the invasion of the South was being prepared by North Korea, which we know, of course, that we've done some things there to curtail that, but I don't think sufficiently. Of course, you say, well, now they're Russia, and they're allowing people to come in with the gospel and so on. Well, don't kid yourself. They're still the enemy. They despise us. They'll use us as they have. Right now, they're one of the poorest nations in the world. And so they want our money, just like all the others. As soon as you notice, by the way, as soon as South Africa was overturned and became predominantly black by nature of its leadership, the first thing he asked for was financial aid from the United States. We cannot succeed, he said, if we do not have financial aid. Well, Jack, stick it. That's my philosophy. You're the one with the gold. Start digging. Everybody looks to us, and stupid as we are, we try to buy our peace, and all we get is peace. Spelt differently, of course. All right, point D, the violations of the Royal Family Honor Code. The first reference, we'll spend a little time with it. I want to spend more time in the 2 Timothy 3 passage. But the three major passages that we're going to be dealing with will be Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 8, and 2 Timothy 2, 16 and 17. There are other related passages which we will deal with as we're going along. First, if you would, open your texts to Proverbs 6. I'm going to give you the corrected, amplified translation of that particular text. Here we have the seven worst sins as far as God is concerned. Now, if you were to ask man what they consider the worst sins, what would generally be the first one on the list? Murder. Okay, murder. Well, that's on the list, but I think the order in which they appear is the order of precedence. In other words, the worst is listed first, and the least is listed last. For it says, there are six things that the Lord hates. You say, but wait a minute. You said there were seven deadly sins. Well, keep reading. Yes, seven are an abomination to his soul. Let's just stop right here and decide what this, first of all, to his soul means. God does not have a soul. It implies, of course, that these are terms of human accommodation so that we can understand in human terms how this annoys God. The first thing on the list is arrogance, simply called haughty eyes. Why haughty eyes? That's an old English word for arrogance. Why eyes? Because an arrogant person has a certain look. Now, you parents, of course, have tuned yourself over the years to know your children's looks. By looks, I don't mean their appearance. I mean, when you look into their eyes, you can actually tell certain things about them. If they're lying, you say, look into my face, or look into my eyes. The first thing a child wants to do, or even adults, want to do when they're telling a lie is to what? Look away or look down. Okay? They don't want to look you straight in the face. Now, of course, a real professional liar can look right at you and smile, and you don't see any change in their facial expression or in their eyes at all. Why? Because they have so much scar tissue built over the years that there's absolutely no soulish response as such. Haughty eyes, arrogance, first on the list. Not murder, arrogance. Second, a lying tongue. In other words, liars. Thirdly, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now there's murder. You'll notice that murder is the thing that is condemned in the scripture, and I should clear the air with this regard, not legitimate killing. Now, some of you, I suspect, might be a little soft on the subject. Maybe you were raised in some typical fundy church where they thought that the taking of another life was an awful, awful thing, which it is, and yet Christians ought not to do that. That's not the case at all. And they used to get very upset with the colonel because he would say that the best soldiers are the ones that have the highest piles of dead enemy in front of them. They're doing their job as unto the Lord. Capital crimes, of course, are punishable by death. And there were many, many capital crimes that today are, you know, all right, murder, you say, that's a capital crime. So was adultery. That was a capital crime. So was homosexuality. That was a capital crime, punishable by death. Now, God isn't an ogre. He isn't mean. He knows what it takes to preserve a nation and to keep it sane. And we're going absolutely insane. We're going out of our minds in this country by catering to all kinds of people, especially even murderers. We consider the rights of the criminal more than we do the rights of the free citizen or the victim. His rights were violated. I'd violate his rights. And these guys with their, we don't have cable television in our prisons. That was the latest thing. They don't have cable. I'd give them cable. No televisions, I'd give them cable. And I would just wire their cells with cable. I say, you want a cable? There's your cable. And then they were annoyed because they had to eat American food instead of what they were used to eating you know, tomatoes and frijoles and all that stuff. I know it's tamales and frijoles, but I want to be American about it. The thing is, of course, if you get imprisoned in Mexico, ask them for a filet mignon and see what you'll get. You get cable on a plate, that's what you'll get. If they even feed you. There they throw the key away and they forget you even exist. Who? Oh, gringo? No, he died long ago. And you hear, help, in the background. What do you want, gringo? Food. Hey, it's been 2 weeks. Bring him some more cable. Next. So, of course, legitimate killing, and that would include self-defense or the protection of your property and your person. Remember, the use of deadly force is outlined in different ways in different states. Wherever you live, you better find out what the rule of thumb is. You've heard that stupid expression, if he's outside banging on your door, shoot him and drag his feet in. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean a thing in the state of Arizona. If you have a legitimate cause for putting a bolt in someone, and you're justified in doing so, and you can live with it, that's what's important. Now, this rapist that's running around, I got a perfect solution for him. Phenomenal solution. Some 70-year-old woman, just empty something like a 25 automatic. That would be the way to go. Something that stings first. Right in his face. Oh, how many rounds the thing might hold. Of course, if I had anything to do with it, it'd be a 44 mag with 250 grain hollow points. Oh, I'm sure most of you are so glad that I'm not running for any public office. I'd make these guys look like whips, and they call themselves right-wing conservatives. Well, where I get my stuff from is the Word of God, and if you don't like it, take it up with the author. He didn't put up with any nonsense whatever. Wait till the millennium. In the millennium, there's going to be the instant execution of criminals. Instant. No trials. None of this, proven this way until that way. Uh-uh. You're going to have an omniscient God sitting on a throne judging. He'll know already what's being done. You don't need a jury. He'll be the judge, the jury, in omniscience. And many, many people will die in the millennium as a result of having committed a capital crime. You know, the millennium is not a utopia. You've got people that are living on Earth during the millennium that were born of the human beings that came out of the tribulation period that did not receive glorified bodies. There'll be hundreds of thousands of them. And how many children, for example, how many generations can you have in 1,000 years? Quite a few. And that, of course, answers the question, how come the revolt at the end of the millennium, when the millennium is all said and done, and Christ has reigned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with some of us co-reigning with him, there'll be a revolt. Apparently, hundreds of thousands of people will follow Satan's rule rather than the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how's that taken care of? Instant death. Instant death. You want a picture of slaughter? Read the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of the book of the Revelation. The blood runs in the tribulation up to about the height of the horse's bridle through the fields of Megiddo. That's how deep it is. And who is the one that wields the sword? The one who rides the horse in righteousness. And his name is? the Word of God. Now we have an appreciation, I think, when it says, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And some of you play with your Christian lives. You lead with your chin. You do everything possible to avoid not being severely disciplined. But one of these days, I'm warning you, the boom is going to fall. And discipline will come hard and heavy. You can't mess around with the Lord. He doesn't play. As the passage says, God does not wink at man. I think you understand that. Next, we have the right lobe that devises evil plans, such as conspiracy, rejection of authority. Boy, if that doesn't characterize our age today. And some of you ladies are characterized by that because you don't believe in the authority of your husband. Why? Because you're living in the 90s. Well, where do you stand before the Lord and you tell him you're a victim of the 90s and see how far you go with that? Sheer nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And for what it's worth, you see, all that has to happen is one woman living in the 90s continues to be subordinate to her husband, and that makes you look like crap. But then you say, well, you know, marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Show me that in the text. Nowhere does it teach that. Nowhere. But you hear it all the time. Why? Because you've got, I mean, you even have a television station now that's made for women. I found out yesterday, I was sitting there, and it says television for women. And so I said, well, what, you mean I can't watch that? What is this television for women nonsense? But boy, come up with something like television for men and listen to the uproar. That's like the blacks, you know, when they get involved and they want to be in the Miss Universe contest and they want to be in the Miss America contest, but put one white in the Miss Black contest and see what happens. You see, it's always been the same. It's not equality that these groups seek. It's superiority. Same with a woman. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Well, I was going to say if we saw a woman in the White House, but we already have one. So. I missed that one by a few years, didn't I? You don't really think that Billy Boy is the captain of his helm, do you? No, he's the what do they call the? No, he's worse than that. Bilge cleaner. All right. We laugh. We should be crying. That's what you should be doing. What a sad state of affairs, as well as a state sad of affairs. Rejection of authority, revolution, civil disobedience. We see it all around us. Crime is on the rise. And it'll continue to get worse as long as we become as lenient as we are with criminals. That's the way it works. In the old West, they hung them, right? As you came in, here you are, clippity-clopping, you know? I wonder what kind of a town this is. And here's some guy. And there's a sign on it. And they had his crime pinned right to him. Oop. Well, I think I'll bypass this one. If you had intentions of doing that, I'll never get over what I read many, many years ago. But I love little stories like this. There was a band of bank robbers. They started in around Pennsylvania or New York, some place back east, and they were making their way across the northern part of the country. And so they were robbing banks as they were going along. And they came to this little town in Montana. And they walked into the bank, and there were some guys, there were about four or five guys in there, and they had their bib overalls on, you know, and their hats, and their little piece of straw sticking out, you know, and so on. And so these guys walked in, and they said, this is a stick-up. And so one of the old farmers said, "Are you serious?" And he says, "Yeah, we're serious." And they all pulled out guns about this long and just shot them all. Said, "You said you were serious." I loved that. I read that. I just roared with laughter. They'd gone all across the country without any problem. They got a little town of Montana. They put up a little nonsense. What? You said, boom, that was the end of that. And they called the police, and they said, "These guys tried to rob the bank." "Oh, yeah, they're the ones who've been going all across the country robbing banks." "Well, they're not going to do it anymore." "They'll never do it again." And not one taxpayer dollar was spent. Some of these guys I read had the old single-six shooters, you know, the single-action type Western things with, you know, 7-inch barrels on them. And they had them in their coveralls, their overalls. And they just whip these things out. You just see it. I'd have loved to have been there. Been a fly on the side of the wall. Look at that. Love it. Shoot them. Now, you realize, of course, that's not the solution to every problem. I just thought I'd mention that because I started off rather negative. Let's see. What do we do with these people? Put them in the hands of the Lord. Feet that run rapidly to evil, troublemakers. A false witness who utters lies. Not just a liar, but a slanderer, a gossip. Sometimes referred to in the scriptures as a perjurer. One who spreads strife among the brethren. Another causer of problems. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but the Greek word for that in the New Testament, does anyone know what it is? He who causes divisions? A heretic. A heretic. A heretic isn't one necessarily that holds unsound doctrine. A heretic is one who actually spreads discord and attempts to destroy the harmony of a local church. That's why it's the one thing I won't tolerate. When I find people like this, I just take them aside, and you just don't see them anymore. That's all. No, I don't shoot them. I just send them on their way. All these sins are a violation of the Royal Family Honor Code. The second major passage, and this is the one I'd like to deal with this evening, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you would turn to that a minute. 2 Timothy 3:1. I should tell you immediately that there is a question as to what is meant in verse 1 by the last days. Is it the last days of the dispensation? Or is it like Paul uses in 1 Timothy 4, latter times, referring to any time subsequent to the time of the writing that Paul was at that point writing? I believe it has to do with a period of time considered the last days. I believe firmly that we're living in the last days. Why? Because of the outline that we have in front of us. Never before in human history have we had all of these as frequent, as readily done as we do in this list. Let's go over them. You're going to be surprised with some of them, by the way, because right in the middle, Paul loves to put in a phrase that must have really irked him. And yet I believe in the time of the Apostle Paul, this was probably very, very rare. It was probably very, very rare because it was punishable by death. You can say another one? Yeah, wait till we get to it. All right, the word men there in verse 2 does not refer to males. It refers to mankind. That is the generic use of the term. And this is referring to believers who are acting like non-believers.
Paul is not writing about the state of affairs with regard to the unregenerate. Remember that the one thing that the Word of God has no illusions about, and that is the potentiality of what a non-believer is capable of doing. Anything. Anything. Now, what is the believer capable of doing? Anything and everything. What is it that restrains him from doing these things? The filling of the Spirit. You can't do it in the filling of the Spirit. That's the one guideline that you have. You'll never get yourself into any kind of problems, by the way. That is, problems or human situations that you cannot resolve in the filling of the Spirit. And if nothing else, you'll never, ever be a displeasure to the Lord. Ever. He loves His Spirit, the filling, and loves the believer that's filled with the Spirit. He empowers them, and eventually He blesses them. It's amazing. For letting Him do His thing in our lives. And what's He going to do His thing about? Everything that's good for us. Isn't that strange? And yet, every one of us wants what's good for us. But we try to find it in every place other than where it is readily available by means of the filling of the Spirit. That's the only thing that pleases Him. All right, so first, we'll just simply say four people will be lovers of themselves. Principle? Egocentric. Selfish. Here we have Thanksgiving coming up, and it's going to be less than that in the lives of most. I'm sure that most of you are thankful for what you have, your families, your security, especially your local church, possibly your pastor, possibly the Word of God that he communicates. I mean, that might be a part of it. It is wonderful to know that there are those at Westside that let me know from time to time that they're very thankful for my ministry and what it's meant in their lives. That's an encouragement to me. And, you know, one person encouraging me like that keeps me going for another 10 years. Even though I may have 100 that discourage me. Now, the one encouragement far supersedes the other. Because, see, I go on a basic philosophy. If one gets it, and one loves it, and one is thankful for it, then who is potentially capable of doing likewise? All. If none of you got it, and you all walked around going, what are you talking about? Then I'd say, something's wrong with my ministry. And all one person has to do is advance in the Christian life, and one person reach maturity, that says you all could have. But you're not all going to. Because you don't want to. You don't want to. Admit it. You say, no, I want to reach maturity. No, you don't. Be honest with yourself. Quit lying. The worst person to lie to is yourself. I mean, lie to others, you can fool them. But don't lie to yourself. Why? Because people are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Next, we have lovers of money. Oh, isn't that something? We're living in a money thinking pattern today. Everything revolves around money. Money, money, how much, how much, how much, how much, how much, see? And it is not money that's the root of all evil. Don't ever quote that verse. It's the love of money. That's what modifies it. An insatiable desire to have it. And I would almost guarantee you married couples that if you've been married less than 10 years, 65 to 75% of all your arguments have been around money, which simply proves my point. Whether you have it or you don't. You know, it's always been amazing to me. People that don't have money argue about the fact that they don't have it. And then those that have money argue about the money they have as to where they're going to spend it. And you haven't even begun to grow up in your marriage if you're still calling it my money and your money. Look how quiet it got. Whatever happened to our and the relationship that should exist between two people as one, not two? The Word of God doesn't say, and the two shall remain two, where his is his and hers is hers. No. No. I wish I could get some of you couples into the singles class, but you'd taint it. Of course, I'd like to get some of the singles in our singles class. We should have had 16 and had a high school of 1 year. Made it open for you. Boasters. This is not self-esteem. This is boasting. Proud, as in pride. Blasphemers. What is a blasphemer? The Greek word, by the way, is blasphemia. That's where we get the word from in English. It's simply transliterated. It means to ascribe to God. It's also the same as the idea of profanity, or using the Lord's name in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain, by the way, is not what you normally hear. When an unbeliever uses the Lord's name, he's a non-believer. What do you expect? Now, to him, it's just two words. Or when you hear someone say, oh my God, believers should never say that. Especially to ascribe to God something that is vain or empty. That's using the Lord's name in vain. Unthankful. Unholy. So wait a minute, you missed one. Where? There it is. That was punishable by death. The father and the mother would bring the child to the council and say, I've admonished them three times with this regard. After the second and third admonition, the child was to be stoned. Huh. Boy, I know a lot of kids that should be glad they're not living in Old Testament times. Why was that? Because the parents were so damn mean. No, why was that? They would rather have seen their child dead than the name, the good name of that family, create an atmosphere of blasphemy. That's why when I was raising mine, I was so severe with them. Didn't hurt them. Didn't hurt them a bit. They're not criminals. As far as I know, they've never done anything as far as a criminal act, unless they smoke a joint or two. And I want to know about it if they did. They may have done some other things. I know that the two girls used to go to a place called White's, and they would punch holes in the bread and stick their thumbs in it. But, you know, that's stupid, silly teen stuff. Now, they weren't even teens then. Can you imagine coming home and opening up a loaf of bread and having, some thumb pushes through it? You laugh, and what I heard about, they didn't tell me, of course, until they were married and out of the house. And I'm sure every one of you have done something like you walk past the hostess aisle, with the snowballs, and you got to at least take one and go, Why? Because you have a sin nature and you're nasty. And that's just the way it is. But if I was there as your parent, I'd not only make you buy it, I'd make you eat the thing right there in front of everyone. After you squished it and squashed it. We had other things back there that were called Yankee Doodles, and they had some others that were filled with some kind of a cream. And, I know that. Well, people love to hit those or whack the top and watch that cream come splatting out the end all over the place. Nasty, just nasty. Well, that's the action of vile little kids. But Now, of course, this disobedient to parents, they weren't stoned to death for not going to bed. You know, go to bed, no. First admonition, go to bed, no. Third admonition, all right, come on, we'll go to the elders. No, it was outlined very clearly, especially when it had to do with one's life. It had to do with lifestyle that was contrary to the family. Families were very important in Old Testament times. Families were important up until about 1940 in this country. World War II did more to destroy the family unit than anything else. And then, of course, we have the roaring 50s, and then the sloppy 60s, and the smelly 70s. That's when the hippies were coming around. 60s and 70s. You know, the long hair, beads, and no water, and never bathed, and they stunk to high heaven. They called it the natural smell. Yeah, you expect that out of a pig or a dog, but not out of a human being. And I often wondered, you know, what they did in the ancient world. I'm sure they used something. They had perfumes. I know they did. They had one that was called what? Frankincense. The ladies, and they had some fine perfumes, and probably deodorants as well. They knew how to make soap. They were told when to wash and how often to wash. If you look at the Levitical ceremonial cleansing alone, man, that guy must have had scrubbed hands and feet and mouth and various other parts of his body. You see, he'd wash his eyes, his mouth, his nose, his ears, and his hands, indicating where he'd been, what he had touched, what he'd smelled, what he'd seen, in case there was any sin. That was the total cleansing process. Of course, I guess if I was the high priest back then, I'd have jumped right in, lest I miss a part. Because remember, the next thing that comes in is push the veil aside. And that must have been a frightening experience. Absolutely frightening. Realizing that on the other side of that veil is the very Shekinah presence of God. And if you missed one point, you'd be like, where's my checklist, you know? Ta-da, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I forgot that. Go back and do it again. And then finally, you know, kind of peek in. That was it. All you had to do is peek. If you were unclean, you're gone. And I said, where's the high priest? No, no. All I can see is a bunch of ashes outside of the veil. They're consuming immediately. Now, that's the kind of God I'm talking about. Not some Santa Claus in the sky that gives you things when you want them. All right. Unthankful. What a wonderful message for Thanksgiving. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. You know, holding a grudge. Slanderers. Intemperate or without self-control. Brutal. Brutality in this country is on the rise. And it appears that men who aren't really men, but worms, think that they show their masculinity by beating up on their wives. There's many reasons why I got out of the police department. One of them was that I didn't like the way the kids were starting to act because I was convinced that one of these days they were going to rap one right across the side of the face with my baton. Or whatever you want to call it. They had already taken our saps away, so we couldn't use those anymore. But we had big flashlights. Couldn't stand the sass. I'm talking about 14, 15-year-old kids. Who are you? I have my rights. Now, there's your rights. So I had to protect myself from that. So I simply go, and then I, back and where I belong. But then I knew one of these days I was going to roll up on a scene where there was some sweet young thing in the front yard, all beaten up, and Jocko, Bubba, fat ass, drunk, who had just beaten his wife up, standing there, roaring at me, all kinds of obscenities, and saying he's going to do it again, and start toward his wife again. Ooh. See, I used to present scenarios to myself. What would you do in a case like that? I better quit. See? Can't stand. It's the most cowardly thing that anyone can do. A man hitting a woman? Cowardly. The lowest in life. Of course, with the women of today, you know, they're well trained and so on. I've seen a few flirt some guys, too. I love her. What happened? Oh, he decked me. She decked me, rather. Brutal. A lot of brutality going on in this country. And it seems that women are involved in it as well as men. It used to be a masculine thing, now it's both. Why? Because they want equal rights. So they really progressed. See, they went down to brutality. Wonderful. The despisers of good, traitors, which of course in warfare or under war is punishable by death. Headstrong, unmovable, stubborn. I don't care what your national background is, you should be flexible. Haughty, there's our word again. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Or aren't we, though, really a pleasure-seeking society? What's in it for me? What makes me feel good? Sure. Look at the amount of time the average family spends in front of a television. That's amusement, it's entertainment, but it's also pleasure. At least it should be. Unless you're a poor, deprived prisoner and you don't have cable. And I don't see where they should have any pleasure anyway. This is supposed to be a form of punishment, isn't it? Isn't it? Somewhere doesn't it say that? To send people to prison as a means of punishment for not being fit members of society? You say, well, the design is that they're going to rehabilitate them. No, they're not. They make them better criminals when they come out because they get more ideas from the others. There's no rehabilitation plans in our prisons today. They're going to close that one in California, that maximum security thing, where they're one to a cell, not allowed to have any contact, whatever, with other prisoners. That's the way it should be. Total isolation. You want to act like a stupid idiot? Then you're going to go where stupid idiots go. That's the way it is. See, the thing is, we don't need more laws in this country. We've got some phenomenal laws. What do we need? The enforcement of what we have. Just keep them right to the top. Man, no partiality. Anyway, you're Dr. So-and-so's son, or you're Kennedy's brother or something. Yeah. I don't care if your name is John D. Rockefeller. In jail. See? And somebody must have had it out for that gal that was involved. A very wealthy woman went to jail for some kind of thing. What was her name? Who? Helen? Helmsley. That's it. Yeah, because that's amazing. She couldn't buy her way out of anything. Of course, look at poor Tyson. Sitting there, millions and millions of dollars in prison. Couldn't get him out either. I don't know whether he did it or not. It's not my business. I don't even know whether Simpson did it or not. So you already have it in the heart. Well, you can't say that. Facts aren't all of them. Could have been a beautiful setup. Either that or a very sloppy killer. That's all I got for you. Yeah, leave blood all over the place. Leave gloves around. Come on. No, it must be bloody glove. No, no, but this will just blow up in the middle of my yard. I don't know about that. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. We have a lot of forms of godliness today. This one and that one. And what are we told to do with regard to these types? Look at it. I didn't write this. Look at it. From such people, turn away. For if this sort of those, and I love this, who creep into houses, creep, and make captive of gullible women loaded down. sins